IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of dissimilar. You wanna hear them? It's got humans. They're sitting in a box and talking old Edwards out loud.
Yeah, for the first time in our lives, I'm lighter than Akash.
Really?
Yeah.
First time. How long do you guys know each other?
Eight years.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. 2014 we met because of open mics. Okay. Yeah.
8 years. Wow.
Back then I was at Book My Show. He was at AIB.
Yeah. Interning.
Okay.
Interning, which is basically selling your soul to AIB.
Which is right. Basically writing stuff and never getting credit.
Yeah. And these guys would just vanish after open mics at 10 in the night to go and write for these guys, which means they were doing all nighters, like college kids and all, right?
Right.
So it was very like, this is the first foray of like comedy. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is too intense.
But it was like, it was very intense workplace to work in. And all, not just because, like, I wouldn't call it a toxic environment, but it was like, definitely like, everyone is working way harder than you are.
Oh, so you always feel like you need to work.
Yeah. And I was doing law school plus audio engineering ka diploma plus this plus a job at another production. I was in the afternoons. So it was like a little hectic.
You're only in your 20s.
Just don't sleep. Yeah. Don't sleep. Not even early 20s. Like by 25, I was burnt out, dude. I was like,
can
you
imagine?
Yeah. Like even same with me. I was working at IVM only when I got into comedy seriously. And that was like a job from 10 in the morning. I would come in at 11.
That's why
Amit hates me. I would come at 11, leave at 7-ish and then go to a mic, do 2-3 mics and then chill with my friends who are other comics till like 1 in the night, catch the last train back home, tell my mom like keep the food on the gas ready for me, whatever.
Yeah.
She would sleep at 1:30 because of me, bichari. And then eat food like aram se, you know, kitchen mein bedke, watching a TV series, 5 episodes or whatever. 3 o'clock sleep, wake up at 6 again, get ready for the next day. It's just like that, you know. And now when I look back at my life, and because we shot for 6 months on a stretch, I was like, I miss comedy, but not so much that like I'll put myself through that ever again, you know. The need for 3 mics in a night is intense. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Masoom still does it. Like,
wow, that's really intense.
I think it's the least you can do. Like, it's the
really?
Yeah, because it's like every other thing that you ever learn in your life, you've been trained for to some extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to be an engineer, you've been learning math since you were in bloody second standard, right? Like, but like the fundamentals of comedy, nobody teaches you at all while you're growing up. Like,
life teaches you the fundamentals.
Yeah, like basic, like empathy, performance, eye contact, merging things, writing in a way, writing words that are to be spoken and not to be read. All of those things you have to learn on the fly. So I think it's very fair, dude. First 5 years, everyone should like ragdo.
Should do
ragdo,
this.
Yeah.
Because then like on a given night, if you have 3 or 4 mics, there might be one great show, but then the remaining will suck. And that will give you a reality check like nothing other. Ki, like life is this.
I often wonder what it would be like if this city had adequate transportation. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of our, all of our struggling years, no matter who is in this room or you're watching this here in Bombay, so much of it has been spent in transit.
That's true. Like I was just thinking that he would come from Bhayandar every day and be here at 11 in the morning, which is fair.
Yeah.
That 1 hour late is fair if you're coming from Bhayandar.
Yeah.
I swear, dude. Like, remember when we had an office in Bandra, my company Lassun had an office, and my manager, Utkarsh, used to live near Pump House in Andheri East. And it would literally be like, he could either leave at 12 and reach by 12:45 or leave at 9 and reach by 12.
Yeah.
So like, there was no point only. Yeah. Poor guy would come at 3 in the afternoon and then I would have to leave by 6. And then we would be like, fuck it, abhi office hi hum log ne radd kar diya pura.
Huh.
Hey, welcome. It's Vartalab.
Yeah, it's Vartalab. Yeah.
Hello.
And with a brand new guest, we have Shubhra Chatterjee today with us. And Shubhra is a good friend. We knew each other way back and then I forgot.
What?
That, like, so Shubhra and I, you tell the story.
No, so we have a common friend and we once met
at Bastion.
Yeah, at
we
Bastion.
We had a full ass dinner.
We had a dinner together and I remembered Naveen, but he didn't remember me. So the first.
Typical, you know, rockstar life. What to do?
I know. Famous people forget.
Yeah. I remember that time clearly because I'd never been to Bastion. Again, out of my aukad, right? Like, you go to Bastion, you're like, oh shit, 5,000 for like one dish or whatever. And I remember my ex was a chef. So I was like taking photos and videos to show him I'm at a nice posh place. So I might have lost myself a little bit in that moment.
The lobster was more interesting than.
Yeah, they have lobster.
Your fellow diners.
And there's a crocodile on the wall, okay? There's
what?
Like this.
Shit, I don't remember this.
It was right behind us. That's what I was taking selfies.
See, that's you were focusing on while I was focusing on you.
And one year, there was a my friend's birthday we celebrated over there, and we were all like, we'll all chip in because the bill was 27 grand for like one meal.
Wow.
But the entire meal was just the New Orleans style pot roast.
Whoa.
So it was just like they come and dump like shrimps and crabs and lobster.
Wow.
And
oh my God.
And potatoes and corn, and everything is just dumped in front of you, and you just like, the whole family just kind of combines efforts and finishes it.
We're already talking food. Yeah.
That's gonna be a kind of a theme throughout the episode, because Shubhra is obsessed with food, and because of her, throughout these shoot days, if there was a point where my IBS kicked in, because we ate everything from everywhere. Okay,
this is true.
So that's super duper.
But let's start at the beginning. Yeah. I never knew until I met you that you were from Nigeria. You were born in a different part of the world altogether.
No, actually, I wasn't born in Nigeria.
I bet you were born in India, because nobody wants to get born in Nigeria.
I was born in Navsari, in Gujarat.
Okay, boom. Oh, wow. There you go. And Navsari, where a lot of my family comes from.
Yeah, so. I was born in Navsari. My parents had been in Gujarat for a very long time. Both of them studied at the Baroda Medical College.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So, they speak Gujarati, you know, to each other when they don't want us kids to understand. So, yeah, I was born in Gujarat, but we went to Nigeria when I was about 7.
Uh-huh.
And I did most of my schooling in Nigeria. And it wasn't like one of the big cities. It wasn't Lagos or Abuja or Port Harcourt. It was like a really small town called Owerri.
Owerri, Owerra.
Life goes on. I was saying there's an Owerri Pada in the East areas.
So that's where I spent, third standard to 10th standard.
Mm-hmm.
And
the very formative years also.
Yeah.
So you know the
language.
Do
you remember that change? Like, of like, hey, I've changed countries. Like, do you remember?
Yes,
like,
yes. Very, very vividly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very different. It was very different. Because at that time, we were in Delhi. So to go from, Delhi to like a really small town where, I mean, there wasn't, like, we had to go basically, I mean, and this will put it in context, there was nothing familiar over there. So for example, we had to go 150 kilometers to buy dal chawal.
Right.
Not chawal, but dal.
Yeah.
You know, anything Indian, like papad, and even dhania wasn't like being grown in Owerri, in and around Owerri. So we would go about 150 kilometers away to Port Harcourt, which was the big town close by. And that's where we would buy like dal and rajma and haldi and all the masala. So it was, so that was very, I mean, that's something I still,
But how did you end up over there? Like, your dad had a posting over there. What exactly happened?
So my parents are doctors, and they were working in the interiors over there, which is how we sort of, long story cut short, landed up
in like
Owerri.
Doctors without borders.
Except like confined to Nigeria's borders.
Without continents.
Yes.
Oh, but that must have been such a fun. Did you ever learn Nigerian?
So the language I learned was Igbo, because the part of Nigeria where we were was southeastern Nigeria, and they speak Igbo over there. So there are three main languages. There's Hausa, there's Yoruba, and there's Igbo.
Oh.
So Igbo was what I learned in school.
Nice.
For 7 years. Yeah.
Nice. And what was school like with like other kids? Were you like the outsider over there?
Yeah, was it like a expat school or was it like a local school?
No, it wasn't an expat school, because there weren't enough expats there to create a school.
Or there'd be dal chawal man.
Exactly. like the big cities had these Indian language schools where, you had Hindi, and they would follow CBSC curriculum. And the school I went to was a local school, and we were following WAEC curriculum, which is West African Examination Council.
Wow.
So I grew up studying in the local school, learning Igbo and Nigerian history and Nigerian geography. Wow. I also learned Christian religious knowledge for 7 years, because it was, you could either learn that or Islamic religious knowledge. So.
One of them is better than the other. And I won't say which one. They've been fighting for centuries over that.
You came back and you went to Simbi. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Did you come back just for college or? Yeah, no? I'm assuming. Because to 11th, I think you were there only.
Till 10th, I was 10th. There. So that was O-levels. I finished there. And then I came back to India to do my 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
And I came back, of course, for college, but also because things had started becoming a little dangerous there.
Right.
So, I mean, there used to be kidnappings and there were armed robberies and stuff. And things had started getting a little bad.
Mm.
So my parents decided to send me back just to, you know,
be safe.
Be safe.
And
yeah,
if you came back to Delhi, that'd be hilarious. Like, Jesus Christ.
No, I actually came back to Bhopal. I studied there for a couple of years.
Oh, baap re. Nice. Like, it's such a, you must feel like a ping pong ball, dude. Just like crazy. Idhar se udhar.
Yeah, if you get an email in life, like Google Maps sends you like places you've been, it'll be a very colorful, like a whole string of maps.
Yeah, there'll be places even I don't remember.
Yeah, you should do that thing where people tattoo the world map on them and then they tattoo color it. As in when they visit a country or like an area.
Arre, but you know, I don't know, because I feel next 5-6 years all these countries are going to change and all, and then borders
can,
will change, and then
everything will change.
Yeah, you'll get a little fucked, you know, when Africa becomes thinner because of global warming and all, and like all the sea facing areas start going away, then you'll be like, fuck, ye toh jagah hi nahi hai.
Yeah, it'll become Pangea once again.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Everything is moving towards another continent. Like everything's
a super continent.
Yeah,
yes.
Another super continent after this one. But we won't be around for that.
No, that's like billions of years.
Yeah. Every time I go on tour, I like to fuck with everyone I meet. Okay. So normally it's like right before I'm about to go on, I look at the producer and the opening act and I say, I need to quit comedy, man. Like I need to go and become a farmer or some shit. And they always fucks with them. And this time it's been, yeah, the world is ending, dude. In like 5 years, it's all going to end and all. And they're all just tripping. Like 5 minutes before you go on stage, it just depresses the fuck out of the room and then go on and do comedy. But yeah, 5 years, I'm giving it.
Yeah, man, we already 8 billion people.
Yeah, and like, I abhi to saath hue the.
Exactly. When did we become 8
and
billion
people? And yeah,
people
don't understand billion kitna hota hai. It's like a lot of millions make 1 billion.
Yeah.
You know?
Because India mein million hi nahi hai na.
Yeah.
Kitne sare crore lagte hai 1 billion banane ko. It's more accurate for Indian standards.
Yeah, one train going from Churchgate to Virar is 1 billion people. Yeah, aram se. That's what it feels like, you know.
It feels like.
Yeah, when you were saying like, you know, Bhayandra so early morning, like the reason I would reach at 11 is because to reach at 10, I had to catch a specific train. It's called the 825 local from Bhayandra, which is, if you've ever been on that train, it's, first of all, it's a train that starts from Bhayandra, but it comes from Churchgate because it's got to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And on the way, these fuckers in Mira Road will sit in the train.
Yeah, yeah.
And take all the places,
before,
yeah.
They leave the house an hour before the train's time just so they can do this.
Yeah.
Which is catch the train, boarding Mira Road, sitting in Bhayandra for half an hour and then going back to their workplaces, which is in Churchgate side, right? So when we got in, there was no space. We just had standing space, okay?
Yeah.
And 1 year I remember clearly because I'd start staying at my boyfriend's house or Gia's place or Nanak's place. Like my friend's place. So I don't have to go back to that shit show of a town and come back in that train specifically in the morning. And 1 year I was like, one day, I remember Cyrus was recording only, I had to be here on time. I stood at 8 o'clock, sharp 8 o'clock, I get in the train. By 8:25, when the train is supposed to leave, 100 more men have managed to get in behind me. I'm already on the door, Akash. I'm not shitting you, okay? There are people all over. I'm the last guy to get in the door at 8 o'clock. How 100 more people got in after me, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that day, I had the worst anxiety attack ever. Like, I'm just like, this is it. Before Andheri, I'm going to die. And this is the end of my life.
Yeah.
Because you know how anxiety kicks in and then you can't even breathe.
Yeah.
Where's the oxygen?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You know, it's like
everything just came in together. But that's what I was saying. Like, in Bombay, somehow people understand, you know. Like, somehow 2-3 guys made some space for me and gave me water so I could just, like, survive until, like, 17 minutes of Borivali to Andheri. I remember 17 minutes, I was counting it down to the clock where people just get off. Ah, shit. And then I was like, never again.
Yeah.
Just like, then we moved out of Bhayandra. Like, my family's still there, but Abhi and I were like, let's just fucking stay somewhere together.
Yeah.
Oh God.
That's so much crazy. Better now.
Trauma, it's trauma, dude.
From there to Patel, and then from Patel compound to where you are now.
Yeah, where our office is right now is overlooking Patel compound.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, this filth is where I still live. Huh, bad times, good times.
Yeah.
But Bombay has a lot of empathy. That's
what I'm saying.
I think we need that to, you know,
carry
survive forward, and carry forward and move ahead.
We were discussing this, I think, on Neeti's episode where we were like, I think I felt like the empathy started to go down over the last few years.
Okay.
And like from when I was a kid to now, you know, and I feel like that's something we need to actively talk against as a community, as Mumbaikars, which I think is not really happening.
Yeah, but because there's too many of us now. Like earlier, as you were saying, that there's 8 billion of us, so Bombay mein kitna 2 billion. My math is horrible, as you can see. But too many people is Bombay, you know?
Yeah.
That's the whole context. Like, when you're in Delhi, essentially, like, you hardly get into jams.
Yeah.
Just like you coast through, 5 minutes max you'll wait somewhere because, of course, there's also the bureaucracy and the politicians are coming around, so they have to keep it like that. But in Bombay, you just like, you have... when I leave from Bhayandra, for example, to Khar, on a given evening, which is like peak time, I'll take a water bottle, I'll take some sandwiches, you know, I'll roll some in the rickshaw only. Like, I make an entire picnic out of it because I know it's going to be an adventure. And then at the end, you get there.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, so many rickshaw guys also I talk to, they're like, Delhi mein insaniyat nahi hai, yahan pe wo nahi hai, wahan pe wo nahi hai, Bombay best hai. While they're stuck with me, like, while the signal is saying 120 minutes until the next green signal, you're just sitting there and having, like, an experience.
Yeah.
But that's true, you know, and that is why, like, I am not from Bombay.
Hmm.
I've been living here for the last 16 years.
No, then you are from Bombay.
Yeah,
bro.
Now I'm from Bombay. It's the longest I've lived anywhere, actually. But that's the thing, the city takes you in. And it makes you one of its own. You know, it gives you that empathy. It lets you be who you are.
Yeah.
And it lets you do what you want to do. You know, so yeah, I think that's why the population of Bombay keeps growing, because people just coming in
I'm not that optimistic. I feel like it's going to drop very quickly. Like, I'm waiting on these 2-3 bridges to get done and a couple of these highways to get done. And then the minute people have an opportunity to fuck off, they'll fuck off. Because who wants to pay rent in a place where you have to still sit through traffic to get home? You know what I mean?
But these bridges, like, once the coastal road does happen, whenever it happens,
that will not do anything.
It's going to connect Virar
this
to
is all
Varsova to... And then I wouldn't mind living in Virar if I can get to Varsova in 20 minutes.
Yeah. But there are two bridges, I would say. Like, one is the new Dahisar bridge that's coming up. Then the other one is the Trans Harbour link that's coming up. Like, and then the Navi Mumbai airport is also happening. So a lot of people will shift to Navi Mumbai. I pray for that. Like, I remember, like, I'm not generally a xenophobic person or a jingoistic person. But after the lockdown, I was like, fucking don't come back to my city. Tum log apne apne ghar pe gaye ho, sab log gaon gaon gaye ho, jao raho, udhar se work from home karo, apna shahar sudharo. Idhar aane ka zarurat, take the values we've given you and go proliferate them in your small towns. Don't come back.
Destiny chose the path for you.
Yeah.
Follow it.
Yeah. But then fucking, you know, TCS was like, nahi, wapis aajao. So then everyone had to come back.
I do find myself saying that a lot nowadays, where I'm just like, I miss the pandemic. You know, just like, Linking Road was so nice.
Just the khali pan.
Yeah.
The ability to walk around. Like, my wife and I bought cycles. We can't cycle only in Mumbai. There's no space to cycle.
There
you have to wake up at fucking 6 in the morning to go and cycle. Unfortunate.
And plus, you read all these guys who just get knocked over by trucks and tempos just
all the time.
There's no cycling lane.
Unless it's BKC. BKC for some reason is fucking damn sorted, dude.
Yeah. It's just like they made it for, like, because white people come there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you'll cycle here from Hilton.
Somebody planned it. The rest of Bombay is not planned.
I swear.
Yeah. And like, if you look at, like, especially Bayandar and Borivali and all these suburban areas, there's a shop. Okay, and there's a footpath outside it for the shop to have access to people to walk in.
Yeah.
But on that footpath are other shopkeepers blocking that shop, which is selling the same goods sometimes. It's a bit funnier. And then there's homeless people on the road.
On the road. So then the road is now one lane smaller.
One lane for people to walk.
Yeah.
And then rickshaw, hawa mein jao. Like, if there was ever a need to have hover cars, it's now, because just like have
absolutely.
The homeless.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
And with the homeless people will be the dogs also, which I find very sweet. Like, you know, every
ecosystem
time there's like a...
Yeah.
It's a very sweet little ecosystem.
Yeah. I would never like turn it against homeless people, because that's just like the calamity of their life is what led them there. But in that moment, as you said, like, dogs and cats will just still be, they will find some food over there.
Yeah.
They will chill with them. If a man is shivering, there's a dog next to him shivering along with him.
Yeah.
That's the reality of it all. Yeah.
The dog is the heater.
Yeah. Poor dog.
Dog is the heater.
Dogs get very hot very fast.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
they
just
no...
one, but like a bed space that you see now, if they ever sit over there, after that half an hour, you'll have a nice warmth.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I speak from experience, because my husband lives in the mountains.
Hmm.
So I spend, you know, a few months there every year.
That's so great.
And we have 3 dogs. And when it gets really cold in the winters, it's sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah.
The dogs are like best thing to hold on to, because they warm your toes and your fingers. So we have 2 cats and 3 dogs. And sometimes I think we just have them so that through the winter months, we have enough warmth around us.
Yeah,
you know, usually after cold winters, more kids are born. So this also works.
This works.
Sustainable.
You see the photos of the dogs and cats. They're all like fluffers, hairy bumps.
They're blankets.
So, udhar toh, and they just naturally know. Like, I've seen my friends who had indie dogs in Bombay and all, who moved to the mountains, that you can't recognize the dog. The dog's body knows ki bro abhi weather ho gaya, abhi idhar patla rehke matlab nahi hai. Like, and they just poof.
Yeah.
Our cat Mangesh, dude.
Yeah.
So we had this
Mangesh.
Yeah. My office had 2 cats, Mangesh and Siddesh.
Siddesh was the female.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. We named her before she had a gender. So
so funny, because they had Mangesh. Mangesh ran away. They thought Mangesh is lost. So they got one cat that looked like Mangesh. It was Siddesh. Because Mangesh was already inside the house. So now they had 2 cats that looked the same, but one male, one female.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, what a story.
That's a story.
Yeah, so it was Rohit Shah's fault actually, you know, because we were looking for the cat in my this guy in our office. Rohit, he's like, nahi, ye hi hai. And I'm like, bro, ye nahi hai. And he's like, nahi, yehi hai. I'm like, ye nahi hai. He's like, bro, agar nahi bhi hai na, to aaj se yehi hai. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck?
It takes balls to find some.
Yeah.
Just that the gender is different.
Yeah. But they were exactly so small, na. There's no gender with kittens at that age. But like Mangu in Bombay was a pretty lean looking cat, like hair wise.
It looks like a Mangesh.
Yeah, and he moved to Punjab, and now I see the seasonal variations in his body hair. You know, because
as so
it
when
gets
there's
cold,
sarso ka saag, it's different.
Yeah,
in that season is different when there's more ghee and makkan, and in gur season it's different. So.
Absolutely. During the only thing that is consistent is wo bhuka hai aur usko aur khana hai. Like that's the only thing that doesn't change.
That cat was just like, even when he was in Bombay, like he was always starving for some reason, and like Abhi and I would take care of him because essentially Akash's office space was in many ways a fuck pad for all of us before we could have our own apartments. So they would work work through the day, and then we'd call dibs at the end of the day ki kaun aaj sex karne
wala. This is the Bombay empathy I was talking
exactly. Like in some narrow lane of Ranwar Road in Bandra, like you had to, like, and if there was a rainy day, oh fuck, getting to that house itself was an adventure time. But when that's how Abhi and I fucking ended up together, I in a way blame the house because
we
went on a date, and then we were like, okay, let's just spend time chilling inside this apartment, and it rained so bad that you could not get out. There was physically no way to exit the house, so everything was like,
you were prisoners
food.
There,
we were like, food is there, you know, stash is there, life is good, just like whatever. And then we were like, then electricity went off, so like, oh fuck, romantic, ooh. All of that, but
and
then,
now stuck for years because of that one night.
Yeah, but then so like that was great, because even next morning when y'all came to work, they were still working around us, and we were just like watching the office on my laptop.
We were so used to that at that point. Like there were so many people living in that office at any given time. Like you know what I mean? And always minimum one person would be living there, which I felt was the true contribution of that office, because a lot of out of towners, more than just people from the city having opportunities to get laid, out of towners who were visiting to do comedy or music or whatever, had an opportunity to get laid.
Yeah.
And we had like a proper functioning bathroom and all of that jazz. We had a nice little water heater that
very well equipped.
Very, 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 very well equipped.
I still have the microwave from there.
That microwave was my microwave from Baroda. Like that came to Bombay, then, you know, so that one is also fairly old.
It's functioning like a charm.
Yeah,
except like the roaches behind it are having a great time, but otherwise it's great. The roaches also happen to Patil compound only, by the way. It's the worst. But yeah, Nigeria happened, and then you're now in Bombay, India.
Wow, we went like somewhere else completely.
But it's fascinating to me because like my wife had a similar trajectory where she's a Bengali, never grew up in Bengal, grew up in Jamnagar, and then moved to, and for some reason all roads lead to symbiosis. Because like
by the virtue.
Yeah, like just symbiotic. Like if you're not from Bombay and you're like, I don't know where to study media, agar Xavier's nahi mila to fir everyone
ends up in Simbi.
Was that the same thing for you as well? Did you try for Xavier's then?
No. So I didn't go to Simbi to study media.
Yeah,
I went there to do my undergrad. Yeah. So I studied economics.
Yeah.
And
as if like you say that like, ye to karna hi hai. Ye to matlab free mein aata hai existence.
No, and you know what happened? What actually happened was when I came back to India, when I, you know, started studying in Bhopal, it was like reverse culture shock for me.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't know Hindi. And because I'd never really studied Hindi after the second standard, I didn't even know how to read Devanagari. You know, so it became sort of like a little like I was an outsider here. I'd sort of got used to the life I had there and become one of the kids in Overi. But here I went back to being an outsider.
Right.
And the way we were taught was very different. Like in Nigeria, we had a subject called agricultural science. And we all had a little patch of land, and we would actually grow things and learn monocotyledons and dicotyledons. So it was very practical.
Yeah.
Nice. Aur yahan pe pura, it was all rattafication.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd never rattofied anything really before I came back to India for my 11th and 12th. And what that did was, like, I couldn't adjust into the education system back here again. Like, I remember my very first maths exam, and I was used to being, you know, good at studies. And I was a good studious child. And I was used to getting good marks in Nigeria. Like, I'd get, like, in the 90s. Hmm. Okay.
Like the Asian kid stereotype.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that stereotype holds true.
Yeah.
And then when I came back to India, my first exam, I got 9 out of 100 in maths.
Whoa.
Yeah. It
you didn't show steps. You should have shown steps.
I did the derivation in my own way.
That's the problem. You have to follow
the
steps.
I used logic.
No.
How dare you?
Zero.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I was like, okay, this is, there's a gap here. And it was too late for me to cover that gap. So I wanted to be an architect, but I ended up giving up maths because I just couldn't handle the difference in, you know, how we were being taught. And I moved towards the arts then. And in a place like Bhopal, at that time, your only options were, ya to science karo, science kar rahe ho to bio karke doctor bano, or you do pick up mathematics and you become an engineer.
Dude, I was doing AQI comparisons this time. Like, because the car I have now has the air filter thing. So I just put the windows down and turn it on to see what the fuck is going on. I was at my farm. Now, it is a farm. It is an agricultural, it used to be a village, right? Yeah. So I remember as a kid growing up, it's the cleanest air you could have. In fact, I was having a bad throat, so I went there. Bombay, when I left, the AQI was around 390 while I was driving down the road. Okay, leaving this thing. Over there, it's 325 in the middle of my fucking farm. Because Aju Baju factory aa gaya, sir.
Oh, no.
So, like, there's no escape only. Like, it's very, like, that's the one thing that fucks with me the most, dude, is that there will be nowhere to go only beyond a point where there's cleaner.
Yeah.
Then what will you do?
And then if they're pumping dirty water in the soil, then whatever crops.
That's already happening.
Yeah. That's happening.
That's already happening. It's
the upar kuch na niche kuch.
No, but that's what, like, I was in Punjab recently and I met a farmer and his thing was our soil is poisoned.
Yeah.
You know, with the fertilizers and the chemicals.
Yeah.
And this is what the Green Revolution has done. And our soil is poisoned. They actually have a cancer train in Punjab.
Cancer train.
Yeah.
Where cancer patients go. Yeah. I mean, because
from
soil
Punjab
is
to Delhi.
So,
yeah.
So poisoned. So I think it's on that Bhatinda to Delhi route. So
and it's
they
like,
don't have healthcare there.
Yeah.
So they go.
They have to go to and they all go to Safdarjung only. And if you go to Safdarjung there, it's like I always make this joke, but it's a fucking terrible fact. Safdarjung is the one hospital I've seen where footpath pe aadha hospital.
Yeah.
They are constantly overflowing. So aadha hospital, it's like, and it's so scary because it's the same thing at Tata Memorial. If you've ever been to Tata Memorial in Bombay, which is a cancer specialty hospital.
Yeah.
It's half the patients are on the fucking road only, dude. There's no room for them.
Even AIMS ke baar maine dekha aisa. Ki matlab this, a stretcher, a family member holding the glucose.
Yeah, aur tu soch, ye sab ke beech mein apan census hi nahi kiya ek saal.
But did you know, in the 2001 census, the billion baby was born at Safdarjung Hospital in India.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, billion channel. And then government made a lot of promises ki, like, we'll give you free ration or whatever, like free healthcare and all. Kuch nahi mila.
Kaise like, milega?
Verbal bol ke ho gaya unka. Ki sa celebrate ke, oh, bachcha paida hua. That's exactly what happened. Oh, shit. And we're celebrating the fact that we fuck too much in this country. And that's the funniest part.
In the most regressive country right now, like moving towards more and more regression. But hey, at least we are not sentencing 15,000 protesters to death at once.
That's what I was telling Cyrus, like, you know, like, Iran is in the Football World Cup, but they lose like half their fan base if they get executed, right?
No, but that's apparently not
accurate. It's happening. Not like in the numbers of...
Five is the latest thing I read was that five of those prisoners have been
convicted.
Protesters
of, like,
have been convicted.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like the news got blown out, like numbers got blown out of proportion.
Okay.
But like still it's a bad thing, irrespective of how many people are dying.
Even if one person is, you know, being executed for protesting,
it's a full
revolution.
Yeah, it's a full revolution that's been happening for the past 2 months. Women leading it, in fact.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. They're just openly killing women because they just dare to speak.
Yeah. Gonna take a quick break. In the break, try to listen to the voice talking to you and not to the thoughts asking yourself whether revolution is a good move or not. See you on the other side.
Yeah.
I always do the line of, why am I responsible to pop your cherry? Which always gets a laugh. And then I'm like, no, but I'm serious. Like, you know, coming to me for your first comedy show is the equivalent of saying I want to lose my virginity with rough sex. You know, like, how about you ease into this? Go watch Vipul Goyal.
Be nice to yourself.
I would always have them like start with like a primer. Like, watch a gentler comic, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, even after my show, when people come up to me and like, oh, this is the first comedy show I ever saw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck.
Why this?
Yeah. Please don't judge
too
others by this.
And I, like I go like deep and you know how I talk, right? Like I'm not like holding any uh-huh. kind of like bars, and people are just like, but they have a good time. So yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah. cool. Now that I have prepped you, it's like, you know, first time if you're a virgin and you first time only got fisted, then that's what it is like.
Yeah.
And then uske aage jo bhi hai, journey smooth ho jayega.
Smooth ho jayega, wo bhi hai. There was these like sometimes though, five old ladies can ruin a show or make a show. Okay, like all it takes is five. Like I remember we did Aspie Auditorium this time. We sold about 250 people have come. Five Moosadu ladies sitting in the fourth row who I don't know why they are here. They have no interest. They have no idea who I am. Throughout they're taking video, watch, playing games on their phone, all of that jazz. Those five ladies disapproving at my jokes was enough to kill that entire section of the audience.
Right. Yeah.
Because every time someone would laugh also, they would stare at them. Like, yeah. kyun
hasa it's about vibes. Yeah. No, in the room. It's about the room. It's not
absolutely.
Just, you know.
And then in Chandrapur, of all places, fucking cold city Chandrapur, there is a group of seven aunties, okay? They came to the show and dude, like they're laughing at stuff others are cringing at. Like, people half their age. So then the people half their age are like, oh, okay, then I guess, you know, like, okay,
it's
then.
It's okay
yeah,
to laugh at this.
We can laugh. This together.
Yeah.
But I got an interesting mail from a 40-year-old recently who said ki, I came to your show and I bought the meet and greet ticket, but I felt very ashamed because I was too old and everyone else was young, so I didn't know how to hang out with
40
you.
40 is old now?
Apparently, right? So I was like, bro, like
in the gamut of the audiences also, na, like the younger ones are the more enthusiastic ones.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like they'll come after the show and say ki, we love your performance. Mm. They stick around, they don't have that kind of qualms, right? But then this person, I read your message also when it posted on your stories, that they just feel out of place sometimes. Because like the generational humor thing is also a thing, right? Where if you're post 35 in this country, you're supposed to be a little more like, oh, abhi ghar basti ban bas gaya apna, now we only laugh at uncle jokes on WhatsApp, nothing, you know, non-kosher outside of this. So in that realm, when they come to our show, they find like, even me, like I've had like 60-year-old gay uncles come because they've never got that freedom of like expressing themselves anywhere, but they come to my show and then they get that laugh, ki, oh, he's talking about our lives, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then they kind of like open up to the idea of them coming to you afterwards, despite the qualms and everything. Mm. Yeah. I had one old dad who'd come to my show once and hugged me so much, I felt something. I felt my father's never hugged me like that. That's what I'm saying. You mentioned Chandrapur and small towns have their own little charm, like Cold City, for example, but they'll have these haunts which are amazing to eat at, right?
Yes.
Like, you always seek those out, I always seek those out. And one of Shubhra's amazing discoveries was in this place called Chitradurga, which is again like a small town on the road. We were traveling from Bangalore to Hampi essentially, and this was like a stopover town. The hotels are not nice. The hotel we stayed at was a crazy hotel. It was a KRCTC hotel.
Nice.
Which is just like
those are usually
it was
clean,
haunted.
Right?
It was
purely haunted.
Nobody could sleep.
Yeah.
What? That night. Yeah. Yeah. None of us could sleep.
There's wallpapers that are red, and then there are peeled wallpapers behind that. There's a black onyx wallpaper, and then there's like, you know, marks on the sheets, stubs on the wall, all of that. It was like,
and all of this is right next to an ancient fort. So you know all the bhoot atmas are somewhere hovering around.
Do we have to go? I have to go through this again now.
No, no.
Like, okay.
No, there was a episode where I really scared Akash. Okay. But then we were like fairly like, we checked into it so late that we didn't care about like if it's haunted or not. We just like staying over the night. But before we went there, we went to this little place to eat ragi mudde. Okay, if you all don't know what ragi mudde is, it's a ball of ragi. And they serve it with mutton chops, which are just like just giant as mutton pieces.
Yeah.
And mutton keema balls.
Yeah. Okay. Kima unde, yes. Yeah. Delicious. So good.
Yeah.
And the place we ate at was like, you can imagine the dingiest bar ever. Okay, it's like a
Pink lights.
Dim
pink lights.
That's
yeah.
what you need, man. Like, were you drinking some nice cheap ass liquor with it?
We were not, because we were just like, from the shoot we went there.
Okay.
But there were others around us who have these little wooden corners.
It's a BYOB thing. So everyone would get their quarters and, you know, drink.
Yeah, men are drinking and they're smoking anywhere, they're ashing anywhere, all of that, okay? So we got a quarter to ourselves and we're like, and Shubhra already recked the place, so she knew what to order. So we were like, we just trust you, because looking at the place, we all have diarrhea tomorrow morning. Let's agree. Okay, cool. diarrhea, let's okay. What do you want? we just had agreement, okay? And we were like, okay, let's get this. And one of our colleagues, she went to wash her hands, okay?
That was crazy.
Yeah, Sneha, she went to wash her hands. And this is one of those places where they've kept a bottle of acid next to the bottle of soap.
She actually washed her hands with acid. And then there was smoke,
bottles.
You know, coming out of her palms. And she's like, what is this?
Yeah.
She freaked out. We all freaked out.
Why wouldn't you?
Because she's like, I'm washing my hands, but there's fucking fumes coming out from my hands. And then the guy's like, don't wash with that. That's acid. And she's losing her shit. Like, why would you keep acid next to soap bottle, and both are Bisleri bottles, same color. Like, and we were like, okay, now what do we do? But we were like, okay, let's just eat the food because we've ordered. Yeah. And that was the best food I've ever had in the last year. Like, hands down. In the past year, I would say. Because since then, I've had so much digestive issues. I haven't had to enjoy much. Apart from
not because of those.
No, I was still enjoying. Like, Imphal was great because everything, like naga curry and pork and everything. But that specific meal, I remember, because we had overeaten. Like, every time we ate as a production crew, we had food left over by default, because we were like, who eats fucking chicken tikka every night with like dal fry and all that? We got bored of it. But that specific meal, like, we were fighting over balls, like they couldn't come fast enough.
It was all wiped. The plates were like wiped clean.
Superb, dude.
But small towns have some of the best meals and best food.
I'm telling you, my theory is, no, any place that has been continually inhabited for over 150 years has to have banger food.
That's every place in India.
Exactly. It has to have banger food, because you can't bear a place unless the food is banger.
Absolutely.
Right? And it doesn't need to be all the food, but there needs to be like that one thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even if it's like variations on the same thing, like you go to the central India patch, like this Indore and Nagpur and Bhopal and all that jazz, they are so into their upma. Their poha.
Yeah.
They are so into their poha, dude. And I ate, like, I used to barely like poha, okay, before I went there. Then I was like, main duniya ka best poha khaya hai. Ab mere ghar pe wo kam namak wala subah ekdam thakela poha main kaise khayega jindagi mein fir se.
You have some really good. And each place has its own poha. So the Sihor poha is different from the Indore poha.
And the pride, dude. The pride. It's like
the crunch. Oof.
The farsan on top.
And that's the thing, right? Like, Abhi and I keep talking about this, and Shubhra also has documented this. Like, the joy of having something so simple that is, like, it's flat rice. It's something that people don't even want to eat otherwise in other countries, because it's not even really rice. It's just like flattened leftover husky rice, which we have turned into a delicacy. And that's the beauty of it. I want to, like, of course, learn about, like, how your foray into food began, because that's something that's so unique to you, I think, that the people even seek your work out for that very reason, because your experience with documenting food has been insane, and you know everything about everything. So, like, potato ka se hai, ye gajar ka se hai.
It came to us via England.
It came to us via England. I do a bit about this.
I mean, there is, of course, there are certain parts of India where the potato came in directly with the Portuguese, but then it came also with the English on their ships. And
isn't it fascinating, though? Like, I love it. I do this bit ki like angrej log leke aaye aloo, and they had the aloo for like some fucking 150 years before they gave it to us, dude. And 150 years, all they managed is mashing that shit and putting salt on
and
it.
And look at what we've done.
Bhai na, dude. I always say India is where everything comes to be the best version of itself.
Absolutely. Right?
Like, especially 100%. Ingredients. Like onions, dude. Onions got off the ship and we were like, bro, hum tera hi to intajar kar rahe the.
Onions came to us from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Nice.
And tomatoes came also from Europe only, I think.
With the Portuguese.
With the Portuguese. Yeah. Fuck,
they came from South America.
Aur har cheez mein dal rahe
for my ancestors, man. Honestly, thank you, granddad.
No, but food and food history is fascinating. Like, I always say that the history of the world has been written by man's need to eat. Everything we do is so that we have those three meals a day, and so that we can, you know, fill our stomachs. And that, in a sense, has shaped human history. I mean, even the pandemic was because somebody decided to eat a bat. Right? So, I mean, well, it is food. So, at the end of the day, it is what you eat and why you're eating what you eat that sort of gives us...
It impacts things so much, dude.
Yeah.
Like, this time in Vidar, when I was on tour, I asked for misal pav. They don't have pav, dude. They don't have pav there because the Portuguese were never there. So, there is no pav culture in that entire place only. It's so disturbing on a deep level. I asked for dahi misal, which is such a basic thing, because if you've ever been to Pune, Kolhapur side, you know, it's like the tari and the farsan, and then they give you a little bolo dahi.
Right.
Here, they're like, fuck everything. We'll give you just the farsan and dahi. And that's it.
No tari.
Aur upar se thoda aisa burbur ke thoda sa aisa wo pulses dal denge. And that's supposed to be it. And I was just like, fuck, dude. Like, the same word has so many different extrapolations.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. It's fascinating. How did you get it? What was your first foray into making food-related stuff?
So, the first show I got to direct was a food travel show called Chakle India Kacha Rasta.
Nice.
Where we basically traveled to, you know, Kacha Rasta was our, you know, defining word over there, because we would not go to the big cities. So we never went to like a Lucknow or a Calcutta. We went to the smaller places looking for food. Like, we would go into people's homes. We'd obviously go to the old, you know, restaurants and markets, yeah. but we would also go into people's homes and cook with the produce, cook with the people, and, you know, find, we would go into villages and nice. Cook. So, and that happened in 2011. That's 11 years ago. And that was the first thing I ever directed. So basically, I got to see and understand India in a very, very interesting way. Like, for example, I'd never studied in school, right? Because I was not in India. I'd never studied Indian history, Indian geography, anything. I didn't know India. So this was also my way of reconnecting with my roots, my country.
Right.
And understanding it while on the job, while, you know, eating my way through the country. So yeah, that's when the best way. Yeah. Dude, so that's so how food dude. Happened to me.
That's fascinating, dude.
And this country's topography and food, like, just the palate.
It's too good.
I remember the Ranchi Litti Choka, like, we cannot forget that. Like, a producer, because she's from that area, she was like, "Tum log ruko, main leke aati
hun." Litti Choka is damn good,
Litti
dude.
Litti Choka, but with Champaran mutton, which was cooked in pots with whole garlic. It was delicious.
The smelt of the bone mutton, just like, oof. We all, again, one of those days where we all, like, were so tired from the shoot, but we all sat on the floor, just like breaking the litti. And just like, again, one of those days where we fell short of food. We were like, or khana chahiye tha yaar. But that's the thing. I think food is such a, for me especially, because as you said, like, the language of people is food, right?
Absolutely.
Like when I would tour also, and that is a very lonely time. Akash will tell you the same thing. Like, now we have the luxury sometimes to take our partners along and tell them, look at this world I discovered on my own. And I'll take
and
you
then,
on this
and
journey.
Then watch them be not impressed. Like, dekh mera kingdom. And she's just like, bro, ye basti hai. Like, ye kingdom nahi hai.
Like, abhi I took him to Bangalore, okay? And I have, like, a love story with Bangalore, because I love the craziness. And it's also like, I'm South Indian, so, like, I kind of feel like I'm going back to my roots. Not so much, because it's still there. You know, part of me, I can understand people, they get me and all that. And I'm like, look at the food. Like, there's a Tibetan place there. You know, there's a South Indian place here. This dosa is nice. And he was unimpressed by everything. He just had, like, it's fine. Yeah. And then somebody
from Ahmedabad. No, he needs mayo.
And somebody on his Instagram story, because he went and bitched about it on Instagram, like, nothing is good over here. Some Gujarati in Bangalore is like, try bun nippert. Okay? And then he got obsessed with that little thing, which is this papadi chaat in a burger bun, which he loves. And I was like, is this what you...
it's just, how can you reduce the nutritional value of the food that you're eating to just carbs and cholesterol? Yeah. If you could just take cholesterol on a bread, na, directly put... You know what I mean? Wo to non-veg nahi khate. Varna you think pork fat would have a chance to escape Gujarat? Like, it's the fattiest fat, dude.
Yeah. But now, Zomato has started, like, their intercity food.
That's I don't trust that shit.
I want to try it.
I haven't tried it yet.
I want to try the Arslan biryani.
Here's the problem.
Just go to Calcutta.
I have a big problem with this. The whole idea is fucking missing. You go to a place, you eat the food.
It's the experience.
You don't get to eat the food without going to the place. The whole idea. Chutiye hai log. कि इतने साल से बहन चोद चैतन्य वाली आंटी पागल है कि वो कोंकण से पानी मंगा रही है टैंकर भर भर के मुंबई में बनाने के लिए कि वो बहन चोद एंड व्हाट इज दिस कार्बन फुटप्रिंट यू आर क्रिएटिंग जस्ट बिकॉज यू फेल्ट लाइक हैविंग गलोटी फक ऑफ वेट टिल समवन गोज टू फकिंग लखनऊ एंड बेग देम लाइक द रेस्ट ऑफ अस डू और गो देयर वन डे यू नो व्हाट आई मीन लाइक दिस होल आइडिया कि सो बेसिकली वी आर वर्किंग टुवर्ड्स द फ्यूचर कि तुम बस अपने घर पे अपने काउच पे बैठे रहो बहन चोद हंगने के लिए भी नीचे ही काना कर दो कुछ करो ही मत फिर उधर ही बैठे रहो पूरा दिन लाइक हाउ के इट्स सो disturbing, dude.
It is very, dystopian in a sense.
Yeah.
I was just talking about getting biryani from Kolkata.
No.
Because I can't travel right now.
You know, the feelings are deep here. No, yeah.
You create your own carbon footprint, you go to Kolkata.
Yeah.
Take a flight, do some shows.
And eat more than just that. Because I feel like that experience is that experience. Like, I go, I have the chai at Balwant, I have the fucking Golga, the puchka outside of the Kala Kunj place.
The Doodh Kola also.
Yeah, and the
Doodh Kola.
Yes. Finally, somebody else who gets it.
Yeah, like, Doodh Kola was like, I had like the worst cold when I'd gone to Kolkata.
Same.
But I still am like, I'm going to power through this because it's something else.
Yeah.
It is something else. No, that experience. I mean, the place makes the food.
Yeah.
The people and the place.
And that idea ki wo tumhe jagge mein Doodh Kola de deta hai aur saath mein char terracotta ka chota sa ye de deta hai. Bhar bhancho, jitna peena hai pee. And oh man. And that condescension when you ask for Doodh Kola alone and the guy's like, aadha liter hi milega. And you're like, haan bhancho, de, main piyega.
Yeah.
It's something else, dude. And you can't replace
that's
that.
true open happiness.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Coca-Cola knew about this.
Yeah.
So then again, like one of those things where I'm like, Abhi, this is amazing. And it's like, oh, it's just Coke float. I'm like, no, it's not.
It's not. No, it's not it's Coke
float.
It's
Coca-Cola. It's a photo negative of a Coke float.
Yeah.
Is what it is. But like, okay, here's a food conundrum. I'm going to ask you, I asked this to the, I did naan curry also on the IBM network and they didn't know this. But here's what fascinates me. Gujarat having such a big coastline has no seafood. The only seafood to come out of Gujarat is what the Parsis made, right? And then you have some basic, like the Tandil people, as you go into South Gujarat, they have the same stuff that the Konkani people make more or less. Okay, it's just the similar lasan wala wo fry karke koli wada style banate. But there's no other seafood out of Gujarat. Have you encountered any?
See, you're right. South Gujarat does have its seafood, but that's largely because of the Parsis.
Yeah.
But even when you go to Surat and all, fish is not a big deal. I mean, it's everything else. It's like, you know, the
like
mutton.
There's mutton, there's chicken.
Yeah, there's chicken. Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't actually thought about it. I'm going to investigate this.
Yeah, no, please, can you please, if you're watching this, I've been asking across podcasts for years. Like, please, somebody find out.
I shall come back to you. But I've had the best mutton I've ever eaten in Gujarat. Not in Surat.
Then?
In Chikli.
Oh.
Yeah, very good mutton in Chikli.
Oh, very fascinating.
Yeah.
I've had some, like, life-changing mutton in Surat.
Surat is amazing. The food is just incredible.
Yeah, no, Surat gets it. See, Ahmedabad doesn't get that shit. Ahmedabad is like cheese. Like, they're just like, how do I appeal to the most base instincts of the person coming to me? But Surat is like, I will upset you. I will give you gotala. I will give you lasuni. I will give you kacha pakka. I will
but
change
Surat
you.
Surat has been, I mean, Surat was what Bombay is, right?
Yeah.
Surat was such an important port city.
Until the
town.
British forced the port to shut down.
Yeah.
Fascinating shit.
So
no?
There was the so many influences, yeah. You know, like it was the one big port town in the Mughal times.
Yeah.
And the influences of all the people who landed there, who came in there was just incredible.
Yeah.
Like Surat has amazing, amazing food, like the khausa.
Yeah.
You know, on the streets of Surat, you get khausway, which nice. This is different. This is khausa.
Yeah, it's khausa. It's not Marwari, but it's like very like a Gujju take on what khausa should be. But it's pretty fascinatingly tasty, you know.
Yes.
All of it. There's a Gujarati saying which says Kashi nu maran ne Surat nu jaman.
Yes.
Which literally translates to marne ka hai to Kashi jao, khane ka hai to Surat jao.
Surat jao.
Aur kya chahiye?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And the people of Surat love their food.
Hmm.
They are obsessive. Like I remember this one time I was shooting in Banaras. And I was shooting, I'd gone back to Recce, a place where I'd already shot. I'd shot the food there. And over there, while we were speaking to the shopkeeper, there's a family sitting there. And they're like, aapne yahan pe chakle mein shoot kiya tha na, isliye hum Surat se yahan pe aaye hain khane ke liye. And that was the most validated I've ever felt. Like people have come from Surat to visit Kashi.
Because
and they've come to this place. Which we had recommended on our show to eat, and they're loving the food.
That's too good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now to everybody on Instagram is doing that.
Yeah.
Like those are those videos which are like, ye rakhi uncle, ye mirchi kaat rahe. And one of those videos where uncle is like, mujhe nahi karna yaar, tum log jao yahan se. Customer hai mere paas normally. Remember the whole controversy about the old guy? Yeah. There's this, in Delhi only, one guy shot the video of this guy saying ki he's struggling because of pandemic.
Yes.
He needs money. Some people sent like money across the board to these couple, the old couple. And then the old couple declared that this guy took the money and gave them only a lakh or something and kept the 3 lakhs that otherwise they got. So then he's like, he's doing then a defamation case on him. How can you accuse me of this? I'll show you all the bills. So it's been like a case in the past.
Yeah, it was quite a thing during the pandemic.
Yeah, like, I just feel like
chole chawal and the uncle auntie used to make.
But my whole thing is like, I go to a hotel and if some great food comes, if I smell it from a mile away or whatever, I want to eat it.
Yeah.
But with Shubhra, it never happens.
What?
She's like, everybody get a place together.
Photo lene ka hai na.
And she takes the best aesthetic photos also. Like, she understands food ka, the design of it all, the color, texture, everything. And she does the great photo.
But I never have the time to take the photo.
Yeah.
If I have most of the food photos on my phone are to be sent to friends and family, and they always have like ek do bite le liya hai, thoda sa aadha gayab hai, ya to fir bas plate hai khali.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it was a good meal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I've just been shooting food for so long that I think I've sort of got used to the smells and everything drawing bring me to them, but I pehle shoot karna hai.
Yeah, that's what I know. Like, if there were two crews shooting across, and we've had Hriday on the show as well.
Right.
And
Hriday is the antithesis of you, dude.
Exactly, like, the opposite.
Completely the opposite. Yeah.
So like, we were in Imphal where Shubhra would have killed to be in Imphal. Okay, she was telling Hriday, I'll assistant direct you, so I can just be in Imphal as your AD, so I can eat the food. Because every place you went, like there was a Thai place you went to. Okay, and there's a story. It's very funny because creative director and I, we were recommended this place.
The fish,
yeah. So we were like, okay, there's a crew of 15 people coming. So y'all, just like 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll be here.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what do you want? Our specialty is like a fish roast and a chicken roast.
Yeah.
And those will take a couple of hours to make. So how much should we make and keep? So we're like, oh, 15 people are coming, two fish and two chickens. Then I was like, maybe... Then I was like, maybe like two fish, one chicken, okay? Because I'm not a chicken person, I'll eat fish rather. And then we told our crew to come and join us. This is Riday's team only. Riday came that day, thankfully. But the others all bailed on us. Most of the DOPs and then the production crew. So there were only six of us now. And there's already like two fish underestimated how big the fish would be.
Oh, there must be those nice big
giant ass
river fish, bro.
A river fish. Delicious though, like beautifully marinated, and the gut inside, like the blood inside, was like beautifully coagulated and everything. But it was way too much.
All this before lunch.
Yeah. No, this is at the dinner time.
No, today I haven't had lunch.
Oh shit. Yeah. But that's the thing, right? Like, I alone finished an entire fish because I felt so guilty for ordering way too much.
Yeah. And that was the beginning of your IBS.
That was the beginning of it. But that was not the thing that clinched it, I'm telling you, because they had a spicy octopus, which was amazing. Oof. Just the beautifulest, like the tentacles. They have a very beautiful chewy
Never
texture.
Never eaten
Oh yeah,
octopus.
Like calamari you had?
No.
I've
had calamari.
Yeah.
Yes.
So similar.
Ring.
Squid.
Squid. Yeah.
Squid. So similar texture, but little more like, because they have those succulent thingy.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't, my problem with eating.
Sometimes words evade me. So
octopuses are too octopusy.
You're octopusy.
Octopusy. But octopus sushi is also like a sashimi.
It's too smart to eat, I feel. It's too smart. It's too smart an animal.
What about pigs then? Pigs have a full of
sashimi. Yeah, exactly the problem.
So smart.
That's why I avoid pork at all costs, unless it's right in front of me, in which case I'm like,
abhi to aa gaya, and gives it to you.
Yeah, abhi to auntie jo marna tha mar gaya, abhi main kya karu. But like
mere khane na khane se koi farak nahi
padta. But I've actually killed every animal that I eat. Okay, like I don't I had this very, because I grew up vegetarian, so I was very anal about this whole thing. And when you kill a chicken or a rabbit, it's not the same as when you kill a pig, because you can tell the pig knows what's going on. There is a situational awareness, same which I think the octopus would have. And I feel like the octopus are going to inherit the world after we go anyway. It's gonna be between them and the funguses. So like, you know, then why are we reducing the number of the people who will take humanity forward?
If they were smart, they would run away. They would not be captured and then be in
But they're very rarely. That's, I mean, I don't know.
My favorite is those videos where they put like soy sauce something on the hot and the octopus starts dancing. Have you seen
those
videos?
No. Why would they do that?
They're dead.
Oh, thank God.
But then they have these
twitch.
Nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have these nerves that are activated by that sauce. That's
okay.
Why they do the twitching.
That's
dance.
Fair. I feel like eating animals is a thing that animals do, but the torture involved in the eating of the animal, like that gets into the food.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
Like certain food I don't eat in India because I know that it's gonna be too sad an animal to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was too scared to be even like the meat shows the scared level of the animal also.
Because
right?
Yeah, the hormones in the meat are gonna, like, if it's a life full of stress, like when I went to that egg farm thing in Baroda, you know what I mean? It just like threw me off. Like eggs are my favorite thing, but I couldn't eat eggs for the next week because I was like, yaar, ये मुर्गी वो केज में ही है और अंडा ही देती है वो कुछ
unhappy,
नहीं करता
unhappy chickens,
घूमने भी नहीं जाती है वो यार लाइक दैट्स द बेयर मिनिमम लाइक यू शुड बी लाइक वॉच अ मूवी लाइक हैव वॉच अ सनसेट यार अ चिकन यू शुड गेट टू वॉच अ सनसेट एवरी नाउ एंड देन
बट बरोदा इज क्रेजी अबाउट इट्स एग्स
अरे ब्रो क्रेजी ओह माय गॉड शी नोस एवरीथिंग
यू फॉरगॉट अबाउट द चिकन्स इन टू सेंटेंसेस यू रियलाइज
बिकॉज
दैट्स व्हाट इट इज दैट्स
द फ्लेवर मिक्स इट
व्हेन यू हैव आई एम टेलिंग यू राजू
I've had the Gotala in Surat. So
no,
can,
but the yeah. You have the Japanese fry at Yadgar, and yeah. You tell me that you feel less empathy for you will not feel any empathy.
Yeah. Any, yeah.
Like, Chirayu, our fellow comic, is just like obsessed with eggs, and every city he'll take us to one egg place. Like, yaka anda kha do. I'm like,
but he also thing, right? Makes very good eggs. Actually.
Yeah,
yeah. There's something about ghee and again, a very Indian thing where, you know, like I've eaten egg in all different oils, I've cooked egg in all different oils, butter, you name it, fucking. But ghee mein jab anda banao na,
it's something else. Yeah,
dude.
It is
the,
something
two
else.
Two creatures came together to make something magical.
Yeah, those yes. Chinese birds, they really found home in ghee.
But that's the thing, right? Like when I would like my cat had a surgery, oral surgery, and then she couldn't eat like the packaged food, right? So I had to specifically. What happened?
Oral
surgery. That's what she said. What are you, 5? Usually this is my job. And
just the idea of it, like oral surgery sounds like she's giving a blowjob and got stuck. You know what I mean? Like,
it's my child you're talking about.
I've never seen a Naveen at loss of words.
You know? I mean, what did I see that reaction?
Sorry. Reset.
Yeah.
Oral.
So my cat had an anal surgery. That was just the worms. No, so when she had that surgery, like she couldn't eat packaged food. So I had to like especially go to the market to get a kilo of chicken, like from the shop, and boil it myself, then break it down to molecules so she could consume it, okay? She didn't like it at the end of it anyways, because she's like, where's the flavor, motherfucker? Mm. But I would just go every week, like get 2 chickens, and that's the whole point where you're just like standing near the cage, and while they're doing their business, they're you know, plugging it or whatever, you have nothing to do but stare at the cage.
Yeah.
And you just see these poor motherfuckers who are just like, you know, like when you show those
they're so scared in those cages.
Whenever there's a scene where like in Breaking Bad or whatever, where there are Mexicans going to South America to North America, and they're all scared, you know, in a chicken coop.
Yeah.
But you know, I realized this way before I knew about factory farming or any of this. When I remember I was in maybe 12th standard, where we were doing a class debate or some shit, okay? Mm. And we were debating about this, about vegetarian versus non-vegetarian, okay? And samne wale ladki was supporting vegetarian. And she was like, vegetarian is also the cheaper option. And the judge in that competition was like, excuse me, do you know that broiler chicken is cheaper than paneer? Like weight by weight. And when I didn't know that, like it was benefiting me as a point in the moment. But and then my brain was like, wait, that sounds wrong. Like that should not be the case. Like a derivative of one animal's thing cannot be cheaper than an entire other animal, right? And then I remember going to Venky's used to have its own shops.
Yeah.
So I had gone to one of those. Dude. And I went to this Venky shop and I asked them to see a curry cut. A curry cut is like a whole chicken, but cut for curry. And that shit is cheap. You know what I mean? Like that shit is like, it shouldn't be. Is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. So when I first started dating Abhi, and Abhi's a vegan, right? So like I would always be like, okay, let's order something. And somehow whatever he eats is always more expensive, because like to source organic good quinoa or like even potatoes for that matter, it costs more in this country somehow. It's bizarre. Like every food item that he gets is expensive than mine. Whereas I am a non-vegetarian, and I by virtue you think that okay, this animal cut would be more expensive. Yeah. Right? It's crazy.
And it's if basic look at demand and supply. If you have more supply, the prices go down.
But like, it's like this also, right? It's also like how humans have, like, this is our, I'd spoken about this to Abhish in the other podcast once, but I think this is most apt. When we think of a certain community's food, we think of their best, most banger, the richest food in that thing. Which, if you grew up in that community, actually, you would not eat that shit every day, because you know that would kill you. Everyday food would be roti, sabji, bindi, kashak, right? Like, that's your most basic thing.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, the undhu or, like, whatever, the most fancy dish, the Bengali dish or whatever, any mangi dish, the most fancy. Like, you wouldn't eat pork every day.
No.
That everyone had that basic akkal. Now, it's available every day, because we are, like, you know, trying to drive that price point down more and more, but like you're not made only to eat all that shit.
That's
all the time.
American
absolutely
situation.
I mean, and
also,
you would work a lot physically to get to eat anything,
exactly,
know, back in the day. And we just sit on our asses on chairs, and the food is available on Zomato, and now it's coming from different cities to us.
And even when we travel, we're sitting on our ass only, you know what I mean? It's not like olden days, you're on a bullock cart and beach mein the wheel breaks or the bull dies or whatever the
and
fuck
you change the tires,
like, or the bull.
There should be traveling should be a conveyor belt where you're walking and that's turning the wheels, and then you get somewhere. That's the only way we can get there, you know? It's like power walking away. I love it. But last thing I want to talk about is like it was amazing shooting with you also, and if you want to tell us a story about how I once fell into a shrubbery, and and I am so dedicated to my job is what I
very dedicated.
The way he told me about the story, like, but let her say it because it's funny for her.
It wasn't funny for him. He was in the middle of thorns. No, so we were doing this really intense interview, and this is at midnight after we have traveled the whole day from Chitradurg to Hampi, and we've been shooting the whole day, so everyone's exhausted, including the people we're shooting with, including our characters. And we were shooting this very intense interview, and our characters are having a disagreement, okay? So everyone's just like, you know, watching what is happening and the cameras are focused on them. And Naveen is the one asking the questions. It was an interview. Right. And in the middle of the interview, there was a...
And this entire day, we have been like, the way we approach these interviews is also like, okay, what's playing out in front of us? Let's accumulate all of that knowledge and then focus on the questions to get this out of them, okay? Yeah. So we are like, okay, we are very bent on it. And because it's a resort, we can't just shoot anywhere. So we somehow we found a spot where people could also pass without us being a hindrance.
Right.
So there's like two DOPs and I'm sitting on the DOP saddlebag. So every DOP will have like a bag, which is a bean bag essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's sitting on a chair behind me. There's a beanbag and I'm sitting on the beanbag.
And the camera is right next to Naveen. So the camera is here. I mean, is there. And Naveen is 2 millimeters away from it. So he's being very still, sitting on the saddlebag. And we're shooting in one corner because we can't disturb the rest of the resort. So we're shooting in a corner. So he's sitting next to a hedge. So ek to machhar kaat rahe.
Fucking this entire side was just like eaten. Both Ankit, the OP and I were just getting bit, but we couldn't do anything. We can't like fuck with the rhythm or like tell them, guys, shut the fuck up. Stop arguing.
You can't even move behind camera because you don't want to disturb their process, right? You don't want to distract with any movement behind camera. So we're all trying to hide ourselves.
Yeah.
And in the middle of this, Naveen has asked a question and there is activity happening there and there's a disagreement happening there. And suddenly we see Naveen just, you know, like move to one side and we're like, I was like, what happened? Is he okay? He just moves because the saddle bag has sort of slipped, okay? And the saddle bag and Naveen fall into the hedge. A thorny hedge. And Naveen does not react because he doesn't want to disturb those people. So he keeps sitting in that hedge.
I'm like this in the hedge. I'm like somebody say cut.
He's sitting in the hedge and we are like, we can't even laugh because wahan pe jhagda chal raha hai and we can't react to what is happening here. So it's like this entire comic situation happening behind the camera and Naveen, poor thing, hasn't moved. He's not even breathing, okay? Because he's like, if I breathe, I'll fall more into the hedge.
Yeah. I mean, every little stir up sinking deeper in this, and
it was hilarious. So finally we did call cut and we managed to pull him out of the hedge.
Yeah, thorns sticking out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like fucking grass coming out of my hair for the next 3 days.
Oh, but that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some crazy experiences and I'm really hopeful that what we have captured and when people get to see it, it'll be
fingers crossed. We all have a lot of hopes.
Yeah, we just wound up like Shubhra's side of the production.
Lovely. You're also done, no? You're
sure? No, one. Their stories.
One is left. Okay. Yeah.
We also have 2 more days. Don't forget.
Yeah, I won't forget. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll be there.
Good. You'll finish this.
You'll get a call time soon.
You'll finish this. I have a new food show idea after this.
Oh, I'll perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It'll be
perfect. It's all food shows.
Yeah.
Let's bring back food shows.
I've actually missed doing food shows. I haven't shot any food shows this year. And
because
I think
nowadays
it's time to go
the idea of food show is McDonald's in India versus McDonald's in America. Let's eat McDonald's.
That BuzzFeedification
Or it's like, ye dekhiye, ye Raju Chinese Nagpur mein Raju Chinese jo bilkul cabbage nahi dalta apne Chinese mein. Kya hai benchut?
Or you go to like some part of Ahmedabad and it's just like the fucking worst concoction where it's like ice cream, bhelpuri or something like that. Have you seen those?
It's all
about outrageous things which will attract, you know, the in social media audience for those 5 seconds.
But
it's all about quote unquote viral content.
Right.
So hence you focus on what is the most outrageous thing.
Isn't
but
it
otherwise
like, it keeps coming back to this, I feel, this season more than any other season that we've done before. That everybody is like sabka kaam alag hai. पर एंड में तो सबको रील्स पे व्यू चाहिए. यू नो व्हाट आई मीन. लाइक शेफ भी वही कर रहा है, कॉमेडियन भी वही कर रहा है. तो जो एक्चुअल चीज करने का रहता है जिसमें अच्छा, लाइक सचिन तेंदुलकर इफ ही वाज अलाइव राइट नाउ, व्हेन वुड ही गेट टाइम इन द सेंस कि सॉरी इफ ही वाज प्लेइंग राइट नाउ.
डू वी जस्ट किल सचिन?
बिग मिस्टेक, स्पेशली विद जिंक्स इन द रूम. बट
ही विल डाई एट 99.
या नो, आउच आउच.
आई डिड अ क्रिकेट जोक गाइस, कैन यू बिलीव इट? इट्स अमेजिंग.
ऑन दैट नोट, वी विल जस्ट लाइक एंड दिस एपिसोड.
If he was alive, he'd also cut over here only. Thanks, Shubhra, for joining us.
Yes. You should follow Shubhra. She does a lot of food and history and food history and other stuff on her Instagram handle, which is HistoryWali.
HistoryWali.
With 2 A's. Is it with 2 S?
I don't remember. I'll have to check.
We will tag you.
That's Naveen Noronha. It's House of Noronha. Kuch bhi mehta. This is Varta Lab. Subscribe, follow, etc.
Yeah, and join the lives, guys. Every Saturday, 12 p.m. we go live. So get the live chat going. Tell your friends. Make a thing out of it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
We're also hanging out only there. That's when we also hear the episode.
Yeah. And this week's prompt, we should do a prompt for this week.
What? Like, oh, we haven't done a prompt.
Our fans do AI art for us.
Once in a while.
Oh,
the Yamraj was fucking banger, by the way.
Yeah. We had a Grim Reaper on a buffalo.
Yeah, sorry. Ooh. The Grim Reaper
on
the buffalo.
So that was Yamraj.
Yeah, and then we had a Van Gogh style rats.
Eating momos.
Momos.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think ragi mutton chops.
Ragi mudde and mutton chops.
Yeah.
This week's prompt is
ragi mudde and mutton chops. That's what, that should be fun. Let's see what the AI does with that. I don't think the AI knows what a mudde is.
Yeah, mudde ki baat.
See you next week.
Bye bye.